The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Once again to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mar Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have our very own Brian, the engineer, in the booth behind me. And we have special guest, Dominic Sperano from Pronto Comics.
Thanks for having me again.
Coming back for the fourth time.
Fourth time.
And we have our own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, on the phone, coming back from assignment.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Sounds like you're in an airport.
Yes, well, I am. I'm just arriving from Tasmania, and I'm driving the first cab towards the studio.
And we have our very own Hassan Godwin busy fighting ghetto ninjas in the Bronx today.
Ghetto ninjas?
Yeah, ghetto ninjas, because they're from the Bronx.
Ghetto ninjas.
They announce themselves as their ninjas. They go, ninja, because they're ghetto ninjas.
I don't want to ruin... The festivities that you got going there. I just want to know why I can't just be home every week. Can I just be at home? Why do I have to be doing something heroic or crazy, like fighting dragons and killing vampire monkeys and stuff like that?
I want to know why you just can't be in the studio when I show up. Every time.
Far away.
That's the reason.
Those damn vampire monkeys.
All right. Fine, get on injured. That's fine. I can't win. There's always the tide's always against me. So get on injured. That's perfect.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on the live audio streaming
or the dead audio streaming, whichever comes first.
See, I'm getting the hang of it. And also on the WGBB web camera, you can see us live on the web camera right now. Unless you have that spy equipment, you can see Hassan fighting ghetto ninjas in the Bronx.
Fighting ghetto ninjas right now, I wouldn't be on the phone. I'm just telling you. They're kind of wiry.
You can't do both at the same time? You can't multitask?
No, I'm not that skilled.
All right.
Well, they told me you were top samurai, so...
Unless they do the Batman thing where they all, like, one at a time me. And I can follow the Bruce Lee thing where they all come at me one at a time.
You
and
have
I,
them all
I'm
lined
wave
up.
Them. Yeah. I can't do that.
To fight bad guy, line up this way.
Yeah, exactly. Line up, and I will swat each one of you and look like a hero while I'm on the phone on my radio show.
Now the question is, when you punch the ghetto ninjas, does like an actual like sound effect occur with writing? So is there like a pow and a zap and a kind of thing going on?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, that's right. Exactly what happens. Right, for whoever's filming it.
Right.
Whatever spy satellite is filming it right now that Mark is talking about. That's exactly what's going on. I get a little change on the side from that.
The millions of dollars spent on a spy equipment to spy on you.
Yes,
they have to get on words.
Priorities. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be so shocked if the government is spying on them.
No. Well.
I'm comfortable with it.
I feel disappointed for them because whoever's assigned to watch me is bored out of his mind right now.
I am reminded of a website. This is gotta be at least 10 years ago. It was called boringguys.com.
Yeah.
And it was just five guys on a couch, and that's all it
that's
was.
That's all they did.
You just watched them sitting on a couch doing whatever, but it wasn't like any antics, and that was supposed to be the anti-website, anti-reality show.
I remember a website from long, long ago, the dawn of the internet, called bathewithjesus.com. You can't find it anymore. Someone took it down. But it was basically a guy dressed as Jesus in a tub. Bathe with Jesus.
What websites do you remember, Charlie?
Wonder why they took that down.
Yeah, I'm wondering myself.
What websites do you remember, Charlie?
I don't remember a website. I just got my computer last year. So. All my websites, I remember, were old TV shows.
That was the old internet. All right, so let's just take it away with the news.
That's pretty much what you should do.
As always, the news is brought to you in part by the Rat Bastards at Belmore Towing, located in Belmore, New York, dedicated to taking care of all of your towing needs in the most unscrupulous but legal practices that they can find, such as charging you $50 for a $5 lug nut. And, of course, the movie that's coming to a theater near you, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Monkey Killer, where Abraham Lincoln comes out of retirement to fight the vampire monkeys that are riding on flying sharks.
That's the part that gets me every time, is that he comes out of retirement.
Yeah.
Please tell me this is a real thing. Is that a real thing?
See, if you were listening, you would know it's going to be a real thing.
Oh, okay.
We are making that movie.
Okay.
That's clear indication to us when the guests don't listen to the show.
Yeah. Those damn vampire monkeys.
Yeah.
he only listens when he's on. That's how
pretty
it works.
Pretty much.
How does Abraham Lincoln come from retirement from death? He retires from being killed to fight the monkeys. We asked this question already, didn't we?
Remember, it's a sci-fi movie.
That's right.
That doesn't mean a simple explanation hasn't or couldn't be given.
They injected him with Khan's blood and he came back to life. That's how it happened.
Well, you know, every superhero that we talked about has died and come back. Why can't Abraham Lincoln? Thank you.
Oh my God. Oh, wow. Oh, the production value is going up so much. I'm so glad I was on for that.
I'm out of anything to say. I'm done.
And on that note, on to the news.
Yes. Let's. All right. The big news that came out this week, well, last week actually, Marvel and the family of Jack Kirby have settled their legal battle in advance of the Supreme Court taking the case into conference. A lawyer says, Marvel and the family of Jack Kirby are amicably resolved their legal disputes and are looking forward to advancing their shared goal of honoring Mr. Kirby's significant role in Marvel's history. Turns out that Kirby's children filed 45 copyright termination notices in September of 2009, seeking to reclaim what they saw as their father's stake in Marvel. Marvel asked the federal judge to invalidate the notices on grounds that Kirby's work for the company was for hire, with the editors always retaining full editorial control. A federal judge in 2011 ruled in favor of Marvel, saying that Kirby's contributions to Marvel between 1959 and 1963 were indeed work for hire and therefore not subject to copyright termination. Then, the Kirby family petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court in March, arguing the appeals court unconstitutionally appropriated the copyrights and gave them to Marvel, which claiming it invariably finds that the pre-1978 work of an independent contractor is work for hire. Then, Marvel claimed that Stan Lee supervised the creation of Kirby's work from conception to publication, providing a plot synopsis and retaining the authority to approve the art or seek revisions. Kirby was also paid a page rate. Marvel claimed that it was Marvel, not Kirby, that bore the risk of potential expense if the publication of the work was unsuccessful, and even Kirby himself repeatedly confirmed that Marvel owned all rights to the work. So, despite all of that, they came to a settlement. And so now...
Probably because it's just cheaper for both sides at the end of the day, particularly good. Although, that would have been awesome if they went to the Supreme Court.
And the Supreme Court was like...
I would have loved to have heard like Scalia talk about Marvel and Jack Kirby. I think that would have been fascinating. And of course, who's the one judge who never speaks? I can't remember now.
Albino is the one, the female one. Sorry. There's
one judge who like significantly has never asked a question in like the past 20 years or something.
He just sits there and goes,
he just sits there and people ask him why, and he has no answer for that either. He just does not speak, ask questions. I mean, that's the whole point of the Supreme Court, is that these nine judges can ask direct questions and get answers to interpret the law, and all he does is just sit there. Clarence Thomas.
Really? That was the one who doesn't talk?
That's the one I believe who doesn't talk.
Wow.
And just sits, and just, like, nods.
It's
I would love for him to ask a question, like,
It reminds me of the old joke where the kid never spoke for all his life until he was 8 years old, and he said, pass the salt.
Yeah.
And they were all turned to him and said, why are you speaking Angles? Everything was fine up until then.
Yeah, I think that's his idea. It's like, well, they all asked the questions I wanted to ask, so I don't have to ask anything.
But this is a big deal for all the creators out there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Despite the fact that it was not...
I think it's a clear indication that the fact that Marvel really didn't have much to go on. I mean, the fact that, if the lawsuit continues and persists...
What do you mean, legally? Like, they didn't have much to go on?
Yeah, legally, they didn't have much to go on. Because if they... If you have creation rights, it doesn't matter how much you paid someone. If you're utilizing something that someone else has created as potential intellectual property, and it's modern day making a profit to the company, you do have to compensate. You do have to acknowledge it.
Yes and no. I mean, I would think that the fact that Jack Kirby himself said that Marvel kind of owned it all. And he was paid the page rate. I mean, it's pretty common knowledge now. If you go to work for Marvel, you make it; they own it. You know, that was the whole thing
now.
About Image and it. But you know,
were
that
iffy
was
back then.
That was the '60s and the '50s and the '60s. And basically, I'm pretty certain that you know he was kind of co-creator with Stan Lee on a lot of these things. But it was basically you're getting paid to draw what I'm asking you to draw. So,
but the question was, qualify as work for hire back then as opposed to being a creative force on the thing?
Yeah.
And I think that they didn't want to drag it out because now that they're owned by Disney, they want
that's
to be the family face. And so,
that's why I'm saying they didn't have a lot to go on.
There's
more potential danger for them to prolong it.
Right.
You mean like PR danger? See, I think legally they probably had a lot that they could continue to do.
No,
but
if you don't have contract, I mean, contracts now are prevailing things that can or cannot be broken, but they're actual tangible things now. Back in the '60s, there were very few ownership rights on either side, so it's arguable on either side who could be the potential winner. That's why there's so many people who wrote songs back then, and then someone else would turn around and just be able to cover the song. Without, like, you know, with Jimi Hendrix did to Bob Dylan for almost his entire career. Because there were no ownership rights at that time. There were no copyright. All that stuff came later as artists started to co-opt other pieces of work prolifically. They ended up having to write laws about that and actually having to honor contracts. But back then, it was very iffy. So if the Kirby family was really pursuing it and being serious about it and taking it all the way up to the Supreme Court, Marvel is going to be in some serious trouble.
It's always interesting when the two of you are talking because I always see both the pluses and the minuses on both your sides. So I'm always kind of in the middle of this. So,
well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm happy that they made the settlement and
but
everything.
But I do think that Marvel, with all its money, could have dragged this out forever.
Oh, definitely.
Whether or not they had the solid ground on it, but I think that they...
Well, public relations, though.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That
right.
Publicly, they like, you no, know I mean, what? I, let's I just give agree. Them a couple bucks. Undisclosed, obviously.
Yeah.
No one knows how much they got. And then, you know, we still, everybody's happy. We still kind of keep our copyrights, and
right.
Now there's no more dispute, and we'll just sweep that under the rug.
I mean, because they're owned by Disney, you know, and they have, like, such a deep war chest, they could have kept this going forever. And, like, really have probably won the case. Because they
what
just
would it
have...
cost them to win?
Well,
exactly.
But then again, it's Disney. And if Disney wants to do it, they have the money. So what would have it cost them public-wise? That's a good question. But financially, it probably still would have been
in
the bucket.
All these battles are always fought in the court of public opinion. That's the main problem.
Yeah.
Nobody ever wants to lose a battle of public opinion.
That's true, but then again, at the same time, there's only a small amount of people who truly are looking at this in comparison to, in terms of fandom.
Are you kidding? Yeah, are you kidding? You're the company that owns the Avengers, the Avengers Worldwide movie. If that went viral, what they were doing to Jack Kirby, one of the legends of the industry in the first place, and it looked like this giant empire was putting its boot down on the family of a deceased Golden Age creator. Are you kidding?
No, because I'm going to tell you right now, the people who go see Avengers, the worldwide audience is going
to
see Avengers. The
Don't
truly
pay
hard
to the internet.
The truly hardcore
attention.
Fans that love the comic books and know about Jack Kirby in comparison to the larger, wider audience is much smaller.
As of right now. But what Hassan is saying, that if it did go all the way and that did go viral, that information, everybody would be paying attention to it because that's a multi-billion-dollar corporation. So potentially, that information, if it did get out to the general public, because we know the general public and the comic book fans are two different things.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But if it did get out, then it would be disastrous. Everybody Maybe. Would be paying attention. I think that it would be very bad. That, let's say Walt Disney, you know, said that he claimed it in Disney, like, oh, you know, our Disney is different than Walt Disney. Everybody would go nuts. Everybody would just go insane. And you know how it is with the internet these days. You put one little nugget out there, and it just goes crazy, and then they will not be able to contain it. And then they'll have some type of backlash, which they do not want.
They would have, like, a backlash, but at the end of the day, it would be Disney. They could weather it. I mean, and Disney
really
is done.
So? That they would handle that?
I think
would
they could.
Would it be worth it?
Would it be worth it? No. No. I mean, but that's, again, the brilliance of Disney.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what they're banking on. It's not worth it for you to come after me and to spend potentially close on to, like, you know, maybe $100 million in order to pursue this all the way to the top and bury me in legalese.
Right. What this essentially reminds me of is, did you see the movie Michael Clayton?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that there's the scene at the end where Tilda Swinton is saying, this is the time we want to give them the settlement because we realize that they're now at a point where this is as good as it's going to get. If they continue to pursue it, the amount of money that they will spend will not be recouped by whatever they could win. So they're sort of at a deadlock. And the lawyers themselves know that they're on both sides, know they're at a deadlock because the lawyers can't themselves make any more money. So my guess is that Disney probably did the calculations and realized this is or Marvel, whoever, probably realized this is the best time to give them a settlement offer because they know that the lawyers aren't going to fight any harder for it, even if they went to the Supreme Court. So that's probably like a very calculated payoff point. And I'm happy for the family because, like, at least they get financial security. They get what they were looking for. Their dad is sort of vindicated in some way. So, I mean, ultimately, settlements usually are win-wins at the best, you know, most of the time. So
speaking of win-wins.
How does he do it?
You're going to ask me what I think of this situation?
Yes, what do you think of this situation?
Well, Ginger, is he doing it gingerly, though? I want to know, is that a ginger entrance?
Yes, Alcina correspondent Charlie Saladino just gingerly entered this conversation.
Yes, I. This is what I seriously think of this whole situation with that. I don't care. I really don't care. I am just waiting for Sharknado 3.
And that proves my point of earlier.
Yes.
Whatever.
The general public won't care. They just want their entertainment.
The general public doesn't need to care. The general public just needs to have something to be upset about. And that would give them something to be upset about. And that's all.
Granted, they would choose to be upset over that more than about ISIS.
There's a pink Mandalorian on the new Star Wars cartoon. They'd be upset about everything.
I'm upset that I made it from the airport to here before that news story was over.
Speaking about things to be upset about.
Mr. Segway.
The classic Tom and Jerry cartoons will now be preceded with a disclaimer that may include that.
What?
The Tom and Jerry cartoons are now preceded with a disclaimer stating that they may include scenes of quote-unquote ethnic and racial prejudice. Amazon execs say, Tom and Jerry shorts may depict some ethical and racial prejudices that were commonplace in American society. Such depictions were wrong then and are wrong today.
However, oh my God.
This is not the first time Tom and Jerry cartoons have been slapped with a disclaimer. In a previously released DVD from Time Warner Home Video, a warning appears on screen informing viewers that some of the cartoons show racial and gender stereotypes. The DVD also contained an introduction from Whoopi Goldberg explaining why the producers decided not to remove these offensive scenes from the re-releases. Whoopi says, I can't do a Whoopi impression. The Tom and Jerry episodes included in this collection comes from us from a time when racial and ethnic differences were characterized in name of entertainment.
Disclaimer.
Removing Mammy Two Shoes from would be the same as pretending she never existed. This is the same truth for other images and jokes that we wouldn't normally include in a mainstream cartoon today.
Well, if you go along that lines, Disney will have to do 1,000 disclaimers on their own cartoons.
Disney's one of the worst perpetrators.
Oh, they are the worst. But anyway, that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay. They're Disney.
Yeah.
God forbid they put a disclaimer.
This has really become like the Disney hating hour.
I appreciate the fact that they leave it intact but put a disclaimer as opposed to editing it out, because when they brought back the Looney Tunes, they were editing out a lot of scenes, and I used to watch those things religiously every Saturday morning.
So you know,
see it over and over. And yeah, the parts with the characters are shooting themselves in the head or committing suicide, just woot, it's out. So I remember there's one with the classic turtle versus the hare race,
right?
And Bugs Bunny was tying with the mob because the mob was betting on him to win the race, and he wore a shell that had like a jetpack on the back.
Yeah.
And at the very end, they were beating him down because they thought he was the turtle, and the turtle wore a rabbit costume, and they all grabbed him and they had him win the race. And at the end, he goes, "I'm the rabbit." And he pulls off the outfit. He's like, "I'm the rabbit." And he goes, "Oh, he should have told me." And they all shoot themselves, and they cut that part out. And I was like, what just happened? So it was so weird seeing it not there.
So it's
like,
no longer politically correct to watch a bunch of mafiosos shoot themselves in the head?
Yeah, a bunch of mafiosos, rabbits, shoot themselves in the head.
That
has ever been like a correct thing to do, to have a cartoon depiction of people shooting themselves in the head for public consumption?
Well, I mean, I love that Facebook meme that you see go around from time to time, and it just says, like, we were able to watch this, and no one needed to tell us not to try it at home.
Yes.
That was like... That's where they got the idea for the last part of E.T. when they got rid of the guns from the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yes.
There you go.
Move on.
Speaking of Saturday morning cartoons.
Mr. Segway.
Last weekend marked the final Saturday with cartoons being broadcasted on network television.
What were they broadcasting?
Saturday morning cartoons was broadcasted on Saturday morning. So this is the first week ever. Yesterday was the first weekend ever Saturday with no cartoons on network.
What did they have to get sports in there?
Yeah, sports and news, I'm guessing.
Damn news and sports.
That'd work on their Common Core.
Oh my God! Yeah,
it's kind of weird. Like, no cartoons.
Kind of weird. It's un-American.
It's un-American. So,
what did they replace it with?
I read about that. The fact that it had started to happen was that the networks or just Samson Practice decided that the networks had to have at least 4 hours of some kind of educational programming.
Right.
On.
So it was the Common Core.
The networks decided, okay, well, we'll put it on Saturday mornings. And screw the kids. So after a while, the ratings were down so much that they had to take most of the other cartoons off to put other more lucrative television programming on, and that's slowly what started to kill it off. And, at least NBC and NBC, ABC, and CBS, I think they had stopped doing it all the way back in 2002.
It was a slow decline, and then it's finally over.
And will the Cartoon Network stop showing cartoons on Saturday?
Well, they tried that for a while.
Yeah.
Well, there's an exec who wanted to get rid of cartoons on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, there you go. That's smart thinking.
Well, it's just the broadcast in the major five networks.
There's nothing that's more educational than the Looney Tunes Hour.
Yes, because now you educate yourself on how.
Do you remember that?
You teach them on how to shoot guns in your face.
Yes,
right.
And survive.
And go like, you don't see that.
Speaking of the decline of the industry,
would you stop that?
That happened.
Netflix announced that it is teaming up with the Weinstein Companies in its
first. Wait a minute! Stop. How do you have a segue of speaking of the decline of
the industry,
of entertainment and industry?
Yes.
When Netflix came along and destroyed your mortal enemy, aren't you and Netflix supposed to be bosom buddies right now?
Yes, Netflix and I were good buddies.
So how can you use that segue?
Well, because they're going after the movie theaters now. See?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
See? Be careful who you ally yourself with. Because eventually they will come for you, too.
Ironically, they were my enemy when I was working at Blockbuster Video. They were our competitor, and they were my friend. And now I'm working at a movie theater. Now they're going after movie theaters. I think it's me they're going after. And I don't even realize it.
Probably you.
You know, it's probably Shia LaBeouf blocking Netflix and coming after you.
What, Netflix?
They call
Shia!
Thank you.
He bought Netflix.
He bought Netflix just to come after you. He heard what you said about him on the radio. And he's going, I'm going to get that Mark Torres.
I am a big fan of his show. We just never knew it. He's a huge fan of his show.
That's right.
Mark.
The one and only person that has to listen to us is him.
That's part of his punishment in the rehab. Yeah. He has to listen to
this show. And he's there going, Mark!
He never heard about it until this. And this is the only show he gets in rehab.
So Netflix announced that it is teaming up with the Weinstein Companies in its first of many major film releases. Netflix hopes the release of feature-length films will help spread its worldwide appeal. Executives say fans will have unprecedented choice in how they enjoy an amazing and memorable film that combines the intense action and incredible beauty. We are honored to be working with the Harvey Weinstein and a world-class team of creators to bring this epic story to people all over the world and partner with IMAX, a brand that represents the highest quality of immersive entertainment, in the distribution of this film.
All right, hold on. If they're going to partner with IMAX...
They are partnering with IMAX.
How is that going to work if you're going to watch it at home? What's the good of IMAX? Because you need to go to an IMAX theater to enjoy IMAX.
Well, IMAX wants to take over and become the mainstay of theaters in the world. So they figure if they demolish as many of the smaller standard theaters and then make it more entertainment more accessible at home, the only time you would go out of your house to go to an IMAX theater.
And then they
will be taking over the electronics industry, and the only TV you could buy is the whole wall of a house that will be an IMAX TV.
With the house, it comes with the house.
Then they'll set off an EMP pole and then send us all back to the Stone Age.
And then basically it's Fahrenheit 451.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
IMAX says... In territories where we simultaneously release with Netflix, we are excited to offer customers the option of deciding how, when, and where they want to view the film, and exhibitors the opportunity to participate in this alternative form of content in a new and innovative way.
Decide how, when, and where we want to go see a film?
Well, they're giving you more options now. So now the movie will be released on Netflix and only in IMAX theaters. At the same time.
That would be more options that are only better for them.
Yes.
I got to say, I'm probably the only human being that does not have Netflix, and I'm probably the only being that doesn't really go to IMAX theaters, because they really don't have any IMAX theaters here. The only IMAX theater I know of on Long Island is the Cradle of Aviation Museum near Nassau Coliseum, where they have the Great Eternal Con in June. Mm-hmm. But... aside from that, I don't know where there are any other IMAX theaters on Long Island.
I can tell you several.
Okay.
The Regal Theater in Deer Park and the Lowe's Theater out by me in Stony Brook.
And they have them in the city, Manhattan.
Yeah.
I know they have them in the city.
And they have one upstate in Rockland County, in the Palisades Mall.
Because I'm really going to drive up to Rockland County.
Yes, because you want to see an IMAX. Or, we were just talking about locations of IMAX theaters.
I was contributing. I didn't say you got to go anywhere, trust me.
Okay.
However, AMC Movie Theaters and Regal Movie Theaters are protesting this release, saying, of course they are.
What a surprise.
We bring our customers the IMAX experience as the complete opposite of home entertainment. We believe that the theatrical experience in IMAX, as one of its cornerstones, should be kept apart from home entertainment.
So it's a win-win situation for IMAX, because they're getting pros and cons of the same thing.
Yes, so it's...
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
I've said this time and again. When I go to the movie theater, I don't want 3D. I want 2D. I want fabulous 2D, because if I want a 3D, I just go see a play.
That's in 4D.
Yeah.
And if I wanted 3D, I'd take drugs. Just kidding, kids. I don't do that.
So their first movie, which will be released, will be Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon Part 2, The Green Legend, which will have Michelle Yeoh reprising her role as Yu Shin Lin, and is set to premiere on Netflix and show in only IMAX theaters on August 28th, 2015. So they got some time to work it
out. Only a year from now.
Yeah, but it's still a big deal having a movie, a brand name movie, because the little movies done it before, release on a DVD or whatever, digital download.
Like Roadhouse 2, but
but this one is a major motion picture company siding with Netflix, as opposed to siding with the theaters, the brick and mortar stores. It's very.
But again, listen, it's a win-win situation with them.
What did you think Netflix was after when it showed up for the first time? Do you think it was only after your soup? It's after the full course meal, my friend.
It's all about.
Like, oh, I just want a little soup and a little bit of water. Right. Right.
There was some guy in a living room going, "I want it all.
I just want to borrow some sugar. I just want to borrow some sugar.
Yeah, I just want a bowl of sugar, right?
Yeah.
And a bag of popcorn and a little bit of cherry coke and a seat in your, you know, in front of your main theater. And I'd like to own the theater and I'd like to own all other theaters."
So you've basically like turned Netflix into the Cosmo Kramer of business.
It's industry. Industry consumes all.
I can just see like a whole Seinfeld montage, and in comes Netflix just bounding into the door like, "What up?"
So giddy up.
So we're ready for our break.
Are we ready for our break?
Brian's ready for our break. We'll be right back. We came from radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Kingston Radio.
Just why are you laughing, Mark?
Because it's funny. I purposely made it to be funny, and it's always funny. Every week,
it
I think it's hilarious. It. This is we've she's been playing that clip for like 5 years already, and it's funny
never
every time.
Lose it from the first one to the second one.
Because I remember I told her, I was like, say it with as little enthusiasm as possible.
Yeah.
That it works every time. It's just like, fine.
Wow,
funny.
That was hot.
Yeah, well, that's my daughter for you.
Yes.
Was that your daughter?
Yeah, that was. Oh, why?
No, there goes that illusion.
That's just so funny now.
Yes, we don't believe in nepotism.
No, clearly not.
So we are back with Pronto Comics, Alex Serrano, our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, myself, Mark Torres, and Hassan fighting ghetto ninjas in the Bronx on the phone.
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. They took a break.
Yeah, well, even ghetto ninjas get tired, man.
So
I get tired. Heck with them.
Yeah.
So this week, we're going to be talking about the biggest convention that's coming up, the New York Comic Con, which is starting next week, the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th of October. As we always like to do, we always want to give you guys a little heads up on what to and what not to do at a convention, because every year there's always,
some type of stupid people doing some stupid stuff.
So since it's been sold out, the convention's been sold out, I'm sure a lot of new people will be coming, and they don't know what to do or what not to do at a convention.
Yeah.
You remember, Charlie, when we went, was it 2 years ago, they had the thing, don't bring any live ammo or no dynamite.
That was the most funniest thing. No live ammo, no dynamite.
But the fact that they had to put it in there tells you that somebody somewhere
did it. Yeah.
Every new rule is because someone did something the year before.
Yes. So let's go around. Hassan, do you have a do and don't for congoers, for people?
Do not argue with security when they are trying to stop you or bar you from going someplace in the convention. Utilizing the argument that I've come vast distance to be here just to violate this rule in the first place. That never works.
No.
I came all the way from...
Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yupagoni. I come from Brigadoon. You gotta let me in. I came here to see Eliza Dushku. Yeah, no, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't make us any more sympathetic to your plight. And you're still being a hindrance. And we already have your money because you paid to get in. And we don't care. So don't utilize that argument.
Dominic, you have a do or don't?
I have a lot of don'ts.
Just one. We're going to go around.
Okay.
So your best
one. I do have one do and I have one.
So what's the don't?
The don't stop in the middle of an aisle to start taking pictures or to look at stuff. Nothing drives me crazier than when someone who's like 300 pounds and 6 foot five suddenly decides to stop walking in an aisle to like look at something and just takes up the entire aisle. And now I can't get around you because I'm trying to either get to a panel, do an interview, talk to an artist, get the artist alley. Because this is my job, I have something to go do that's probably more important than you looking at like a girl dressed like the White Queen.
So they should move out of the middle of
just
the
move to the side. Just move to the side. That's all I ask.
All right, Charlie, you got a don't?
Yes. Don't buy food there. Eat before you go or bring snacks with you.
That's a good one.
That's a very good one.
I was
one.
Debating to give that one as, you know.
You
had a 50-50 shot. 50
I would say one of the
happens every year
is to whenever you go there. I know it's all about the costumes and cosplay now, but try to keep the costume as concise as possible. Don't have something elaborate that takes up so much space. We had a guy last year was in a literal cardboard box crawling around the floor. The box was a huge cardboard box that has to fit a guy inside. That takes up so much space. It's so frustrating that you're just trying to navigate around a costume, and those costumes, once again, attract attention. They have people take pictures. So though
you're
gonna make costume, try to keep it concise.
And then the 350-pound dude stops
in
the
costume.
The aisle.
That makes it worse. Yeah.
And then of course, when they take a picture, they can't just take the picture and leave. They have to get all their friends in the picture with that cardboard box.
Oh God.
So Hassan, do you have a do? What should people do instead?
Do. Wow.
You don't have any dues?
There's not a lot of superlatives about, you know, going to the convention. Do enjoy yourself. Do I'm trying to find a concise word. Do try to see as much as humanly possible and to experience as much as possible and ask as many questions and look around and you know, attempt to try to get your money's worth while you're there. A lot of people are just so uptight about the entire experience and so you know, befuddled by the overstimulation that a lot of people don't end up having a good time that I hear whenever we're walking out of the place. There's, you know, nothing but complaints and people upset that they didn't get the full the breadth of the experience. So there's a lot to see, and it only happens, this kind of thing only happens once a year. So, go there, take your time, enjoy yourself, see as much as humanly possible, and stay out of trouble.
Dominic, you have a do?
Yes, do shower before you show.
Wow. I was going to say that.
I know. Thank you. Because I've been going to this con since this first year, and I got to tell you, every year, it's the same 300-pound guy who stands in the middle of the aisle who hasn't showered since I don't know when.
It's funny you mention that because it actually became a news item last year. I remember it was on the news about the convention smell.
Oh, yeah.
It was so bad, it got on the network
news. There was one year... Maybe it was last year, and people have learned about this because, like, Axe body deodorant will show up with, like, hot chicks to hand out samples, and, like, here, try it. Try using Axe. Try it now. Yeah. It's okay. Just spray yourself down with this, and nothing is worse than that fanboy that just has not showered or left the basement since last con.
And he's,
oh my God,
he's been walking, and he's been in a costume.
Yeah, and... You just get stuck behind some dude, and you're just, like, asphyxiated.
So, Charlie, do you have a do for people to do?
Yes, I have. It's more on the line of what Hassan said, but I find this quite beneficial. How was that? I find this
nice.
Thank you. I will get the program and go sit in a corner and make out an itinerary. So do that, and this way you're organized, and you're not running like a mouse in a maze going for the cheese.
I'm glad you said that. That was like, if I didn't go with the shower one, again, I would have gone with that. Wow. You and I, man, we're on, like, on the same page here.
Yeah. Wow. I sit there like a I don't know, Felix Unger, and I go, okay, what time is it now? All right, we can do this.
For do I say plan for crowds, because there will be lines, there will be crowds. So no, if you're going in there knowing you're going to be on a line or in a crowd, it kind of makes things better. Because if you're going in there, oh, I'm going to see my celebrity, it's going to take 2 seconds, I'm going to pay $20. That's not going to happen. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be so crowded, especially on Saturday at the height. There's been some points where we couldn't even navigate any part.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine, Matt, today, and we were talking, and he's an avid congo, and we were talking about that exact same thing. Like I just said, Saturday, and we both looked at each other and said, oh my God, you can't move. And we were saying, we can't get a germ through those aisles. Plus the people who stop and take the picture.
Yeah.
Right?
So, Hassan, do you have another do and or don't?
Okay. Do not go to the conference hall to camp there expecting that you're going to see Kevin Smith on Saturday. So you're going to go there and camp there on Thursday. Mm-hmm. You'll have a perfect seat.
Because from
what I've experienced, these people have gotten wise to you. They clear out those rooms on a regular basis. And you can't, and it's just not going to work. So be prepared to line up. Be prepared to fight the crowd.
I used to be able to pull that off.
Try not to be clever, because cleverness is not going to work. They know all your tricks.
I am, and I do have to say that the New York Comic Con did put a statement out on their website that they will clear rooms. So make sure, you know.
And you know how
it's correct to clear rooms, because it's the law. You can't have people congregating in these places, because people spread out. And, you know, and block exits and do all kinds of things to be comfortable and to be clever. And so it is the law to have to clear those rooms out and be able to clear them out on a moment's notice. So they do that on a regular basis. So,
well,
not the man trying to come down on you. It's just the law.
I would say they should employ those smelly people and send them in.
There you go. That was a great way to get the...
Anyway, we have...
You got Febreze. We just bring your own Febreze and spritz them, and they start to...
You have to wear it, like, on
right
you.
Up. Yeah, exactly. Like in gun holsters.
On the phone, we have Matt from Quorum, my buddy over there. Hey, Matt, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Hey, Matt, do you have a do or don't for convention goers?
Yes. I was going through, I was listening to you guys when you were talking about people with showering. I think probably before anything, it just has to do with deodorant first, really.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, this is the first time I've ever had that I've heard a call into the show, and I'm so glad it's because of something I said about showering.
Oh yeah,
I feel honored.
Yeah. Now, Matt, you go to a lot of cons, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I remember seeing Matt at the Eternal Con,
right?
And I didn't know it was him. He was in such a great red Power Ranger outfit, and and I'm like, I'm calling his mom. Like, I didn't see Matt. He says he was the Power Ranger. I said I did see Matt, but anyway, Matt. So you go to, what was your worst experience? What was your best experience at one?
Oh, my best experience at the conventions have to be just going around, just enjoying the vendors, looking at the exhibitors, everything that they have to offer. And at one point, actually, Bandai had seen my costume, and they had ended up paying me to stay there for about at least 2 or 3 hours, and I would sit there and advertise for one of their figures that were coming out.
Wow.
Nice.
So
yes.
So actually, that brings up a point. As a person, as a cosplayer, you dressed up in costume.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How is it on your end? Because people must be taking pictures all over the place. Do you actually have an opportunity to, like, oh, hey, guys, let me take a picture over there? Or do they just bombard you with pictures?
I actually don't have any opportunities to take pictures of any other people. It's usually just them trying to take pictures of me.
Right. So when they're taking pictures of you, are you like, hey, guys, don't take a picture here, let me step aside? Or is it just they just come at you at all ends?
Sometimes they come at me at all ends, but for the most part, what I try and do is I usually try and get to a distance, because it's not that I really care about disrupting the con for other people. It's more of, I don't want to get run over.
Yes, good idea. Yeah.
So Matt says don't get run over.
That's yes. A good don't. Yes,
that's don't a good get don't. Run over. I was going to say that, don't know.
Yeah, well, once you get run over by a fat guy with a beard,
who hasn't showered.
That's it.
Who hasn't showered.
Exactly.
anyway, Matt, the con is coming up, and you're expected to go there, right? And we discussed the Saturday thing, and tell us of your experiences on like a Saturday. I know Oz were horrific.
Oh yeah, sometimes it's sweat, it's disappointment, and it's people who think that they're a lot skinnier than they are.
Yeah, that's basic thing.
Oh yeah.
And my thing is the we were talking about it. My thing is the people who stop at the booths to take a picture. Now the booths are already, people are stopped there, and mm-hmm. they're like four rows in. Right. So that person stops to take a picture of four rows in. Then he has to work his way in, and then there's a big clotting factor. And
of course.
And it's insane. And Matt, who does cosplay, you do the Ranger thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's the simple. It's a great costume. It's not bulky. It's not, and you go in, and he looks like one of the Power Rangers.
So yeah. Matt, I'm gonna put you on the spot here. I want you to go to the Pronto Comics table and go say hi to Dominic, and that way he can put a name with the Power Ranger face.
Please, yes. Booth 147. Come to booth 147. That's Pronto Comics.
Yeah. So that on your. On your Facebook, what was that? Thank Can you actually explain a little bit about that? It was like $35 an hour for Comic-Con tickets or something?
No. It's $35 for an hour to be at our table if you've worked with Pronto Comics, basically.
Uh-huh.
And you can sell your book, or you can do sketching, and whatever you make, you keep, because you've paid into the time slot. Because it's expensive to exhibit
at Comic-Con, and rightfully so. It's a major convention. So if you don't have the money to like shell out for a table, and at this point there's no way you're going to, you can easily buy into hours for a pretty nominal fee, and then you could be on the main floor and get a chance to exhibit your work and sell your book and
Or
sketches. Yeah. So that's what we provide. We currently have five slots filled. We have a bunch of other slots to fill on Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we also have a ton of artists that are going to be at our booth all weekend long from Thursday to Sunday.
All right. Yep. Look forward to it.
All right, Matt. Listen, thanks for calling in. And as always, don't be a stranger to the show. And we will talk to you soon. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Take care.
Wow, look at that. We did not plan that at all.
That was the best segue you've ever done, Mr. Segway.
Yeah. So let's see. So we're do or don't. Do you have another do or don't, Dominic?
Yes, I have a do for any of creators out there. Do go to Creator Connections and any of Buddy Scalera's panels on Friday. They're an excellent way to get into the business, learn more about what you want to do if you're a creative person, and also for Creator Connections, Pronto Comics is featured. I'll be talking about Pronto Comics there a little bit and helping facilitate things with Buddy Scalera. So I highly recommend that you go to the Creator Connections panel 3 to 4:45, I think 1B something, is it? But just look it up. It's on Friday.
Friday, okay.
From 3 to 4:45.
Charlie, what do you have, another do or don't?
Well, again, very quickly, as it was just reiterating, do expect to be on lines. Don't lose your temper. You're going to see what you wanted to see. No matter how long the lines are, you will get there. So don't lose your temper. Stay on the line. Be a good person and just be patient.
So I have a do. I'm going to follow Dominic's self-promotion here. And I'm going to say, do look for my model that's going to be dressed up as my character, Sunburst. On Sunday, she'll be handing out trading cards of herself. And then you can take a picture with her and you can hashtag it on at sunburstcomic.com or something. I don't remember what it, I don't even know what it is, but
well,
it's
make sure she well, stops by the, make sure she stops by the Pronto Comics booth.
Yeah, see, so that's what I'm going to do. So all you guys out there, you can actually see my character. That was Toxic Fox. That was from the
Oh my God, go see this character. I'm telling all the guys now, go see his character.
So look out for her, and she'll be giving out something for everybody that takes a picture with her. So there you go. That's my do.
That's
there.
A good do.
Hassan, do you have a final one? The final do or don't?
Yes. Do not, if you expect to make any kind of good deals or get what you want, go to any vendors, small press booths, or any other exhibitors and ask them what is free. That is not a good way to start your
relationship. Hassan, this is the first time I got to say, I like you, buddy. Thank you.
Don't ask for what's free. All right.
Do not open the conversation with what's free here, because that's not going to really help. They're not going to be conducive to helping you find the best deal and giving you the best service. So that'd be a waste of your time.
All right, final do or don't, Dominic?
I'd say as great as the main floor is, if you want to have a truly awesome con experience, do spend a lot of time in Artist Alley. That's where you're going to meet the best creators. You're going to meet Jimmy Palmiotti and Charles Soule and Fred Van Lente and Chris Batista and a bunch of great guys. I don't think Nelson DeCastro is exhibiting this year, but if he happens to be around, go check him out too. These are all great, great people who've done all the characters that you've loved from Marvel, DC, and God knows what else. Go check them out. Go support these people. They're the reason why you're a fan, whether you know it or not. And go get educated on these people, because they're fantastic. And follow them on Twitter too.
Charlie, a final do or don't?
I would say, as we've done all through this show, ever since I've been here, just go and do that. Worship these artists. They are amazing people. They bust their chops. They bleed for this art. And they bleed. They draw on their paper with their blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And it's all for passion. And this, you know, it's easy to go to the big boots and... But go there, really. Again, this is what it's all about. Comic-Con. So
exactly.
Go there.
So if you want a true Comic-Con experience, go do that. And this is how a lot of them make their living.
Yes.
So my final do or don't would be bring a bag with you. Not in something crazy, because you're going to get a lot of free stuff. You're going to get a lot of stuff. And a lot of times, certain people don't give out free bags. So
as an amendment to that...
Can I tell you who's giving out free bags?
As an amendment to that, I would say if it is, it turns out to be a backpack, it is all right to take it off from time to time.
Yes.
When you're moving through crowds of people. You fooled. Sorry.
But can I tell you who's giving out free bags?
Who's giving out free
Pronto
bags?
Pronto Comics.
Really?
147.
You are really giving out free bags?
We have 500 free bags without logo on it.
500? That's it?
Yeah. Hey, listen. We're a small operation.
Well, I would put it like giving out bags for the first 500.
Yeah, there you go. First 500 people come to our booth, get bags. And it's got buttons and stickers and information in it and a ton of great stuff.
See,
so
exactly. There you go.
You want to get a free bag, booth 147.
So that about does it on
does
this
it
week.
Really
yes,
do it?
It does. It does.
All right.
On It Came From Reno, join us right here and every week. I will be at the convention. I know Hassan
I will be
and
here
Charlie.
Sunday.
Charlie will be here on Sunday, but we will be at the convention for the... Well, Dominic will also be at the convention. So yeah, we're all going to be at the convention, but Charlie will be taking the reins at the show next Sunday, but I will be out there on Sunday calling in, obviously.
Yeah.
So yeah, check us out. Go see my model Sunburst. She'll be there on Sunday, all day on Sunday. So make sure you guys do that. If you miss any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com. You can listen to the archives, which will be up in a couple of days or so. And that's better. You got a last one?
Yeah, I want to thank Matt for calling in. It was great calling and added a lot to the show.
And thanks, Dominic, for coming in.
Thanks
we'll
for having
see
me.
See you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.